This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanTex.com on Sports Radio 610.
Can Terry Bradshaw sing? 713-572-4610. Texans versus Steelers this week. We know he can talk some trash. Remember when John Elway was drafted by the Baltimore Colts and he threatened to play baseball instead of playing with the Baltimore Colts?
What did he tell him?
I just told him, I don't know, you tell me.
Go ahead, go play ball.
Terry Bradshaw said, here's a little taste of Terry Bradshaw. We know we can talk some smack. Here's Terry Bradshaw talking about John Elway.
And for a guy like Elway to come and say, well, I want to be on the West Coast and I want to be on the beach and I'm a California boy. Well, who cares what you are? You know, and he said, well, I'll play baseball. Play baseball. You should play baseball. Because in my opinion, he's not the kind of guy you win championships with. He never did it when he was at Stanford. I don't think he'll do it at Denver. Personally, don't care if he ever does it.
Is Denver on your schedule next year?
They are, and we're going to kick the dog out of them.
Ah, you got to love Terry Bradshaw. And hate him, because he's just one of those guys that has polarizing points.
But can he sing? That is the question. Here's a little taste of Terry Bradshaw. Now, a lot of loopholes will get offended by this, because he's trying to sing some...
A legend.
Hank Williams.
Song.
I want you to be the judge here. I'll let you be the Simon Cowell. You tell me the answer to the question.
Okay, can he sing?
Can Terry Bradshaw sing? Take it away.
Hear that lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to cry. The midnight train is winding low. I'm so lonesome I could cry.
Tell me, can Terry Bradshaw sing?
That's really good. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. That's really good. He's got the croon. He's got the croon down. He's a crooner. It wasn't as good as the original. He's pretty strong, man.
So the answer is yes. Sing. Terry Bradshaw can sing. Could I interest you in a stat?
Please.
Josh Allen through 2 weeks. 804 yards of total offense. That's more than 22 teams' season total in the NFL, including the Chiefs, Ravens, Bucks, 49ers, and your Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
I pegged that guy so far. And before the season even began, I talked about watching Josh Allen. I thought he showed just enough last year. He was ready to take the next step, and it seems as if he's taking the next step. But the bigger thing, you know, we localize things here. What does it mean for us? What does it mean for our team? I think it's a perfect example of what an offense and an offensive coordinator and a play caller can do for a quarterback's talents by just matching your plays and your offense to their talent.
What about adding a top-tier receiver?
That helped.
They did trade for Stephon Diggs, leads the league in receiving yards. Not bad.
But you don't want to get rid of a top-10 receiver. You want to add a top-10 receiver.
It's another issue on itself. Your players of the week in the NFC, offensively, Dak Prescott.
Okay, I agree.
Defensively, Rams linebacker Micah Kizer.
Okay.
Special teams, Seahawks punter Michael Dixon.
Your Michael Dixon?
My Michael Dixon. It's my Michael, former MVP of the Texas Bowl right there at NRG.
Travesty, but yes.
AFC, well, he earned it. It's a travesty that he was in.
That he had to, yeah, that he was, in fact, the MVP. AFC?
Bills QB Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers linebacker TJ Watt.
Okay, hello, TJ.
And Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker. 58-yard field goal to win it.
All those seem fair to me. No question.
Lost a legend today. Gale Sayers passed away. You might know him from the movie Brian's Song. You might also know him for a very successful short NFL career. Pour one out for Gale Sayers.
Hall of Fame career. That's how good he was. I think he only played, 6 years, 7 years total, but only 4 in his prime before knee surgery. And this was before ACL injuries you could actually come back from one. I'll say this about Gale Sayers. Probably the best individual performance in a football game all around in the history of the NFL. I was around, but I don't remember seeing it. But in 1965, he had 113 yards rushing, 134 yards returning kicks, and 89 yards receiving for 6 touchdowns. Think about that. Think about that was incredible. 113 rushing, 134 returning, and 89 receiving and 6 touchdowns. And yes, Brian's Song, the movie, if you watch that movie and don't cry, you are soulless. You do not have a soul. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Did you cry?
The acting was too bad.
James Caan? You mean Academy Award winner James Caan?
Yeah. I'm not.
You mean Billy Dee Williams? Oh, this just in, Figgy. Breaking news. Breaking news. Yeah, here we go. That's more appropriate. This is the ultimate Larry David moment for Landry Locker. You know that James Caan and Billy Dee Williams? Not good actors.
The cinematography of it just wasn't that good. Like, Brian's Song, like, the basis and the script and all that was there, but I guess they just didn't have the technology at the time to really connect with the audience. Maybe it's just before my time. I didn't feel it.
Brian's Song. So you don't have a soul.
No, I mean, the storyline, I'm sure the book would make me cry. Mm-hmm. The movie, though, it's just not. Maybe they need to remake. Maybe that's one that needs to be remade.
Don't travel well with time.
Yeah. There's some movies that travel well with time. That one could probably use a remake.
Dude.
What?
It's Billy Dee Williams and James Caan.
Okay, what does that mean? What else were they in?
Two of the great. The Godfather? I mean, you know, one maybe the greatest.
That's
movie.
Another one. That's another one that I think it could use a little more.
Well, maybe it's a you problem.
It could use a little more umph.
Maybe that's a you problem if that's the case.
Are they remaking The Godfather?
Aren't they doing something? Didn't we talk about that at one point?
Are they remaking Scarface, right?
Yeah. So basically what you're saying is, like, the actor that was in The Godfather and the actor that was in Star Wars are not good actors. Is what you're saying, and that's why you don't like Brian's Song. The touching story of the relationship of Gale Sayers and Brian Piccolo.
Yeah, I would say that's accurate. Maybe it's the camera angle, but even in, like, when he's in the hospital bed, it just seems like he's a little too far away. Like, I'm not really feeling him. I'm not seeing, like, a zoom in or anything like that.
You know, you also just did something that you probably know, maybe you don't, but a lot of people, when they just don't like a movie, they'll say a catchphrase, even though they don't even know what it is. They'll say, like, yeah, well, the cinematography wasn't that good. Okay, what's cinematography?
I think it's just everything that goes into a production, whether it's panning in, panning out, the lighting, the sound, all that. That's like just pretty much everything that goes into it, right?
You're close. You're in the ball. But people do that. Well, you know, I just loved the cinematography. What's cinematography? Next time someone tells you that, ask them.
Now, I will say this. Why Brian's song didn't hit me that hard, just because I think it might have been limited when it comes to technology. This movie that was created 20 years ago today.
Oh, yeah.
Did hit me. You better believe that.
Mr. Fisher, can I talk to you for a second?
Back off, coach, if you want to stay in this game.
I've got holding on 78 white.
What are you... Are you trying to cheat my boys out the game?
15 more yards.
Listen, let them play, ref. Let them play.
Regional fight.
Let them play. Let the boys play. Cheetah.
Coach, come on.
Cheetah.
Coach.
Oh, come on. What was that? Oh. What are you trying? That wasn't a hold. Oh, come on. That was such a bad call.
Great.
Titus.
I know all about it, Titus.
What are you talking about, Bill?
You call this game fair. But before God, I swear I'll see every last one of you thrown in jail.
You dig your own grave.
Man, another good movie. Another. Notice I said another good movie. Brian's song is legendary.
Gotta hear the best song from Remember the Titans. How are we going to play that, Figgy, and not play the best scene? If you want to get the chills, I'm sorry. No disrespect to Brian's song. That hospital scene cannot hold a candle to this when it comes to getting the chills and getting in the feels.
What was that, Ray? Whatever it is, it ain't blocking.
Give me a break.
You want a break? I'll give you a break. Me and Julius.
Wait a minute. Just let them in.
Get the ref once, just one time. I swear to God, I'm going to hit you so hard by the time you come to. Ooh, boy, you're going to need a new haircut. You understand me? Let's play, fellas.
Come on the ball. Let's run it again.
Come on, me.
You all right, Big Petey?
You really stuck him, Campbell.
Yeah, I love me a little contact, Petey.
Left side.
Wrong side.
Left side.
Wrong side.
Left side.
Wrong side.
Left side.
Now, there it
is. You want me to burst your bubble?
Now, there it is.
I think I've burst your bubble in the past on this.
On what?
On the real
Titans. No, I know that it's unrealistic. They got they beat the crap out of everybody.
Everyone.
Yeah, them trying to make the game look close.
Like they were trailing against this one team.
I mean, they tried to make it seem like there was a disadvantage to have black dudes on your team on a football field.
Yeah, no, the real story, they won every game by like 20 points.
I think it was more than that.
I think they won.
It was like 40.
Well, yes, but I think
it seemed like they ran a reverse to go 80 yards. That's terrible coaching.
Like the last scene, they have to have this last second double reverse, you know, to.
That was in the first quarter.
Or whatever, you know, to get the touchdown. Yeah. They didn't need a last. That would have been piling on. That would have been running up the score. They won by like 30 points in the state championship.
I know that much.
So this is the movie, which is a good movie.
Yeah.
But it's completely erroneous when it comes to the team.
Yeah.
As opposed to the real heartbreaking true story of Brian Piccolo.
I'm not questioning the story. I'm questioning the movie.
All right.
Brian's song did not have the technology to hit.
Say it. Say the word.
Didn't travel all the time.
No, the cinematography.
Cinematography. Did not have the cinematography.
What a cop out.
To satisfy me.
Really love the cinematography. Yeah, what is it? What is it?
John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Pig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. The noise continues to pile up for the Texans and the Steelers. There's some noise that needs to be zoned out. And there's some noise that needs to be soaked in. Let's take it all in next.
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, we got a practice report. Some good news for the Texans heading into the game on Sunday. Will Fuller on the practice field, as is Duke Johnson. Texans got a full squad practicing heading into Sunday. Will Fuller, very good news. Duke Johnson, don't know how much they're going to use him anyways, but hey, better than CJ ProSize or better than Buddy Howe. No disrespect to those two guys.
Good news, man. Even if they're slowed a little bit, at least they're making progress, right? That they're on the field.
They're on the field. We'll see if they're actually going to be on the field on Sunday right here on Sports Radio 610. We'll give you the latest, and I'm sure Clinton's show got you covered as well. There's a lot of news going on around here. J.J. Watt's going to meet with the media at 2 o'clock. How many questions do you think J.J. is going to be asked about his brothers today?
At least the first four.
Four?
Four. I'm thinking, because there's going to be, McClain's going to start, and he's going to have a follow-up, because he's already told them over there that he's doing the J.J. Watt story, so they're going to take care of the general. Then somebody else probably, well, let's see how accurate I am. I'm gonna predict the exact thing that's going to happen today. J.J., first two questions from general, with the follow-up included. Then, not Berman. Berman will be the third one. Then probably Greg Bailey. Got to take care of TV. Hey, J.J. And then he's going to be about J.J. And then Berman. And Berman's going to get into the weeds a little bit on him.
Well, I've got another thought. I lost it. If I can remember what it is, I'll come back to you.
Because he's going to follow up on his discussion with his parents. He's going to actually ask, I spoke with your parents, because you're a little bit of an humble brag there, and they said this, and so this is what.
There's nothing humble about that. He got it done.
No, hey,
Berman
hustles.
Got it done.
He hustles.
Stick it out there.
Absolutely.
Stick it out there,
but
Berman.
It is an humble. It is a humble brag. I mean, still, hey, I talked to your parents yesterday. But no, I mean, he earned it. And then he's going to follow up with that. So that's what's going to happen tomorrow's news today right here on In the Loop.
Okay. So we're going to get all that with J.J. Deshaun's going to speak as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting to see what Deshaun's Deshaun's mindset's going to be heading into this one.
Okay.
Because it's always been even keel.
Yes.
And you remember the, hey, don't jump off the bandwagon and try to come back with Deshaun when they started out slow. Deshaun's just going to be even keel. I don't know that we're going to hear Deshaun Watson saying too much. I don't know what it would take for Deshaun Watson to get angry. What do you think it would take for Deshaun Watson?
Oh,
to
I think
get
he
fired
gets
up
angry. And I mean, everybody
to
does.
To show it
is a different story.
And in defense, I think it would take a lot for Pat Mahomes too.
Sure. I mean, have you ever seen Deshaun even show some anger? Like he's got the swag working, but not anger.
He's cool, calm, and collective.
Yeah,
that's Deshaun.
I've seen Tom Brady and Peyton Manning get angry.
Yeah, well, Tom Brady stays angry.
Yeah.
He on the sidelines.
Yeah.
He stays angry. Jack Easterby, how often do you think he gets angry?
I mean, he's blessed. I would say...
Before I answer that question, let me take it away from this specific situation in sports.
I think he does get angry. Everybody does. This, like, publicly, I don't think so.
This morning, before the Texans probably went to the building... Jack Easterby had this to say via Twitter, at Jack Easterby on Twitter. Focus on the opportunity, the process, and the effort, not the burdens, the naysayers, and the problems. Comments, courtesy of Texans fans. Comment number one, absolutely, amen, truth. Comment number two, focus on the offense. Comment number three, 0-2 is a problem you can't ignore. How does that Hopkins trade look now? Comment number three, focus on building an actual winning culture, not this mediocre beep team for all of O'Brien's tenure. Like somehow hiring you was going to magically make him a better GM. LOL, give me a break. Once you guys go 4-12 this year, you and O'Brien, please never come back to Houston. Hashtag alignment. Comment number four.
Good gravy.
Focus on your job. No one can fail miserably and still be so tone deaf. Get a win, then you deserve Twitter. Are you tough, smart, dependable? Question mark. Maybe. 1 out of 3. Maybe. Hashtag mission to save Deshaun.
Wow.
Comment number five. Do you ever meet any non-sayers not related to you? Does anyone ever say, wow, what great value y'all got for Hop? Does anyone marvel at the terms y'all gave Merciless and the kicker?
Wow.
Just please tell me what Nick Martin's initial ask per year was when the contract talks began. Y'all ended up making him one of the highest paid centers when you and O'Brien bought a new car, do y'all offer 10% over sticker price?
I mean, it's nonstop. He just did a little inspirational focus on, and they're like, focus on the offense, pal. Yeah, well, welcome to 2020 with the Texans so far.
Ouch.
Ouch.
Indeed. Ouch. It's a lot of noise to map out.
Yeah.
BLB doesn't have Twitter, though. Good for him. Not many coaches do.
You sure? You sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. You think Jack looks at the comments?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't think he, like, goes out of his way. He's not, you know, Tyrann Mathieu. But it's hard not to, right? Not to see some.
How do you wear that many hats and have the right mindset for each hat?
General, co-general manager, if you will, it or personnel like director.
He does everything.
Yeah, everything. I mean, just name
like,
it.
I was talking to an NFL player.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking to me about the Texans. And he was saying how hard it would be, because I think part of the appeal of Easterby, and this is a challenge he has, which life is about juggling your tasks. So if he can juggle this, this is hard. But this is why he said it's got to be hard to be Easterby and do all the stuff he does. Just like how Bill O'Brien does a lot of stuff. It's hard to be a GM and a coach because obviously you're conflicted. Like it's
too much on your plate.
Yeah, it's a lot on the plate. But he said it's even more difficult to be the coach's right-hand man and then be a guy who tries to talk to the players and act like the players can actually trust him.
Yes.
You get what I'm
saying?
Because
you know you have the head coach's ear, that he has the head coach's ear.
So if you tell
Jack, I'm really bothered by blah, 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 where's he going to go?
That's why it's so hard.
Right.
That's why their jobs are so hard.
Good point.
And that's why Jack and Bill are highest paid men in town, most important men in town heading into Sunday's game. And if they get that dub, things are going to look a lot better. Winning cures a lot of things.
Yeah, it does.
They need it very, very badly. But the question is Bill O'Brien defeated? We'll hear from Bill O'Brien. We'll also hear from Ben Roethlisberger. Keep it locked. In the Loop continues next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo.
Let's hear from Ben Roethlisberger, quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers are 2-0, but you wouldn't know it based on how the media types sound in talking to their quarterback. Their two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback. Here is Ben Roethlisberger as the Steelers, before the Steelers begin preparation for Sunday's game in Pittsburgh against the Houston Texans, which you'll hear Sunday at noon right here on Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, going back and reviewing, I felt from week one to week two, my pocket presence and awareness was better. I do feel that I got a little lazy with my feet, which then in turn translated to a lazy arm. And so there were some throws that I kind of dropped my elbow, if you will. I don't get too technical, but, you know, became more of a three-quarter release instead of an over-the-top when I didn't need to. There's obviously times you have to change your release point. There were too many throws that I felt, looking back, that I just got to get my feet working better, and that'll then translate hopefully to the rest of the body, and then I won't be guiding some of the throws. You know, that's, to me, the biggest thing is I'm going to work on today, even though it's an off day. I'm going to really work my feet and kind of starting it there with translating the rest of my body.
And you talked about trust after the game, trusting yourself, trusting your guys. I wonder, how do you work on that other than just telling yourself to do it?
You know, I've been doing this a long time, Mike, and I think that's going to be the biggest thing is I just have to tell myself to do it. And I want to reemphasize that it's nothing that the guys are doing wrong. It's just me trusting my arm, trusting the throw, trusting that I can make it, because they're in the right spots. And so I'm thankful for them that they're there. I talked to Deontay this morning about it, that, you know, tomorrow when we both practice, we need to, you know, I need to keep working. I was making sure that he was practicing tomorrow. It's going to be full speed and everything like that, because we just got to keep working. And really it boils down to me needing to be better and trusting myself, which then translates into trusting everyone else.
Ben, when you talk about trusting yourself, how much of that plays into the injury to being hurt? How much of that is just the layoff? And how much did you actually retool You know, I don't, to be perfectly honest, I don't know that I've ever heard you talk about your footwork in so specifically in 8 years.
Well, I've gotten away with it in the past, being able to not necessarily be perfect from the ground up and just letting my arm kind of make up for a lot of things, a lot of imperfections when if you talk to kind of quarterback people. And whether it's the layoff, whether it's the surgery, like I said, I feel great. So I just need to get it in my mind that I can still make the throws when I'm not in perfect position to make them. And maybe some of that comes with just, you know, not playing a lot of football. I mean, I've played 2 games this year. I played a game and a half last year. So really it's what, 3.5 games in 2 years, if you think about it. So, you know, it'll come. Like I said, if I'm having these issues and we're still winning football games, then that's a plus.
Everybody wants you to also run the ball more. There's only so many plays in a game. How as a quarterback do you kind of, you know, measure this all out to make sure everybody's all the mouths are getting fed?
You look at the win-loss column, truthfully. I know that's probably not the answer you're looking for, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who's getting the ball. It doesn't matter how many times we're running or throwing it. It doesn't matter who's getting their stats. It's just a matter of if the team is getting that one stat that's most important, and that's a win.
Hey, Ben, only 2 games, but you're 58% pass. 2 years ago, you were 66%. Did you think this was going to be a more balanced team this year, or is that just sort of the way things have played out with you guys being ahead late a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's just the way the games have played out. We don't go into any game saying, okay, here's our percentage of run pass. We go into a game trying to win it. And I've just been happy at the end of games we've been able to utilize the 4-minute offense both games. I think that's something that we take pride in, because when we say we have to run the ball, it doesn't mean we have to run it more. We have to run it more effectively. And running it in the four-minute offense is effective running.
And for you guys as an offense as a whole this week, what's the biggest area of focus against the Texans?
Well, it's not going to be easy. I think for them, it starts up front with their pass rush, you know, with Watt and everyone else. And they get after the quarterback, and they don't have to blitz a lot. They can do it with 4 guys because they're really special. And then with that pass rush creates issues that you have to try and find windows that they've got some ball hawking secondary guys. And so this defense is really, really good. I mean, they played 2 really good offenses, arguably the 2 best offenses in the league. And so we're really going to have our hands full this week, and we're going to have to just try and be as successful as we can.
All right, thanks.
Texans got the quarterback advantage this week. Now, I don't know how much that matters because it is a team game, but I feel very safe in saying when it comes to the most important position in sports and in the NFL, Texans got the quarterback advantage.
I mean,
you hesitating?
All evidence to the contrary.
You hesitating?
All evidence to the contrary. Who has more touchdowns? Look, you know how I feel about Deshaun Watson. Love that cat.
Come on.
Let's just answer some questions here. You're in the witness box, and I am counsel for Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay.
Between Ben Roethlisberger and Deshaun Watson, who has more touchdown passes?
Big Ben.
Who has more yards?
Big Ben.
Who has fewer interceptions?
Big Ben.
Who has a higher completion percentage?
Big Ben.
I rest my case.
All right. Now you come up.
I'm in the witness box?
Now you come up.
Okay.
Who has faced better teams?
I can't wait for this.
Who has faced better teams?
The Houston Texans. Deshaun.
If you were starting a franchise, which one would you choose?
Deshaun.
If you needed to win a game Sunday with all things equal, who would you choose?
What do you mean by all things equal?
You have...
They're both calling the same plays?
They're both calling the same plays. They both have the same defenses.
Then Deshaun.
I rest my case.
Well, that's all opinion. Everything you asked me was an opinion. Every single thing you asked me was an opinion. I said all evidence to the contrary. I just answered. I mean, I would put Deshaun ahead of Ben on everything, you know, on my wish list. You know, on my wish list, of course. But you're saying they're going into the game with the better quarterback. All evidence says they're not. And that's not Deshaun's fault, but all evidence says they're not.
You know what I started thinking about? Because right now, when it comes to looking at this Steelers game, I'm playing checkers.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided to kind of play a little bit of chess and okay. just look ahead, like one move ahead.
Yeah.
Of all the things I think that could happen to where ownership really, really makes note of what's going on,
mm-hmm.
the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay. Next opponent.
The next opponent.
Yeah.
If they lose this week and they're an 0-3 football team,
mm-hmm.
and the Texans lose this week and they're an 0-3 football team. So it's the battle of 0-3s at NRG. It's going to be the first time fans have been in the stands. They're trying to get fans there.
Yeah.
So you will have 25% fans at NRG or whatever it is. And you could have, again, this is a possibility. This is just me thinking ahead, because a lot of people say, well, what would it take for ownership to get upset with Bill O'Brien and, yeah. you know, Easterby and whatever.
Yeah.
If an 0-3 Minnesota Vikings team comes into town,
mm-hmm.
and Gary Kubiak's offense, the former coach of the Texans.
Ooh, I know where you're going.
Dissects Bill O'Brien's defense and offense, and the 3-0 Vikings, 0-3 Vikings, mm-hmm. win their first game at NRG because of a game plan called by Gary Kubiak.
Yeah.
That might be something that would get the attention of the owner.
Everything's getting their attention, but I like where your head's at. Would you go full Rockets and Jeff Van Gundy? Would you hire Gary Kubiak back?
No. No. No.
With Deshaun?
No.
Gary Kubiak is
There's so many better options.
But he's one of the architects of the bootleg passing
yeah,
game.
Yeah, but there's so many better options.
Rockets are considering JVG, by the way. I've got that on pretty good authority.
You would have Josh McDaniels would be a name that would come up.
Eric Bieniemy
would be a name that would come up.
Yeah.
I think David Shaw would come up.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jim Harbaugh would be mentioned.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think Gary Kubiak's that guy. But I do think if Gary Kubiak and an 0-3 Vikings team make the Texans 0-4, that's going to be a tough pill for Cal to swallow.
That will get their attention. Do you want to throw open your mouth again?
I've been doing that a lot lately.
I know. I got a text from a Miami Dolphins fan in Miami this morning. He said, keep working on that top five pick. I forgot about that.
Yeah, they don't have one.
No, the Dolphins
they got the Texans.
They got the Texans first round pick. Dolphins do.
And second.
The Dolphins are pointing and laughing at the Texans. Dolphins fans are pointing and texting at the laughing at the Texans, hoping for a top five pick. That's a bad look, buddy.
That's kind of the thing when you start talking about, you know, 0-2 teams and 2-0 teams. There's 11 2-0 teams in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
There's 11 0-2 teams in the NFL. A lot of them aren't going all in. Like, there's some teams that are 0-2 and you're like, oh, well, at least we're not them. Well, do they have a first and second round pick next year? Do they have salary cap space next year?
Right.
Is their best player in franchise history aging? That's the different situation. The Texans 0-2 is different than
anything.
A lot of people's 0-2, because you're not getting a better draft pick.
Yeah.
You don't have any cap space.
It doesn't get you anything except embarrassed. I know. Look, let's be fair. It's a long ways from that, but I'm already getting texts from friends in Miami. Keep working on that top five pick for us. I just went, get out of here.
They already drafted Tua,
I texted back the LOL, which LOL can be interpreted several different ways.
Is LOL a half-assed text these days?
No, I like LOL, because LOL can actually mean you're laughing, and it can actually also be like, okay, chief, you know.
Some people think LOL is a half-assed text.
It's a versatile text.
See, I'm an LOL guy.
Yeah, but you use it both ways, too.
Right.
You use it as, that's funny, and yeah, get out of here, you schmuck.
I feel like ha-ha is more like that.
I'm a ha-ha guy.
Ha-ha is like sweeping it aside.
No, I'm a ha-ha guy.
Ha-ha is like, whatever. What's the most disrespectful text?
Okay.
Very much so.
K.
Very much so.
You're done.
The K-text.
You get the K-text, you're done.
Yeah, you get the K-text, that's a wrap.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a damn wrap.
I mean, you might as well just put your clothes in a box.
What about the ignore?
Like, what do you mean?
Just ignore. Don't even...
Yeah, because that could be anything. It could be they're not by their phone, whatever. But K is you're done. It's a wrap. See what happened to U of H?
What happened?
Breaking news. I guess it's breaking news.
Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports. Brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference. Go listen at radio.com/Dell.
University of North Texas has canceled their game this weekend against the Houston Cougars because of seven players testing positive for COVID-19. That's the fifth game canceled on the Cougars. What is...
They're never going to play.
Five games canceled.
Did Dana take a pay cut at least?
No. He gets paid per game. I got a question. Another question for you. It's an offshoot. One of the main reasons I wanted to bring it up. Let's say this happens in the Big 12 to whatever team that's a contender.
Yeah.
All right. Oklahoma, Texas, Okie State.
Tie goes to Texas and Oklahoma. That's the rule.
Well,
that's the rule.
If you ask the Big 12 commissioner,
that's
it
the rule. Tie goes to Texas and Oklahoma to answer your question.
So I'll use Oklahoma State as the example then. Okay. Let's say they only play seven games, but they're 7-0. But in the SEC, somehow, they play the full 10 games, and two teams are 8-2 in the SEC. The 7-0 in the Big 12, Trump, 8-2 in the SEC.
If you're Texas or Oklahoma, it does.
That's why I said Oklahoma State.
No.
But you beat Texas and Oklahoma.
Well, then, yeah.
7-0 is 7-0.
Yeah, they'd get in. They'd get in.
I guess 8-2 LSU or A&M or whatever.
Yeah, they'd get in. Yeah. What would happen?
Playing three fewer games?
What would happen?
On That's seven it. Games.
That's it. You're in. You're in. Come on down. Let's get it. You know what I think?
Mm-hmm.
And this might be harsh.
Yeah.
This might be one of the most harsh things I've said on the radio.
Well, I'm ready for you, and that's saying something.
So we acknowledge, right? We acknowledge that avoiding the COVID, while a lot of times it's not your, there's nothing you can do about it, but it is a major, it might be the most important part of competing in college football this year, correct?
Correct.
I almost feel like the team whose fault it is should have to forfeit.
I don't mind that take.
Like, I'm not.
I don't mind. I mean, it's impossible because sometimes.
I know sometimes,
they could be picking up the mail, you know.
It could be bad. It could be unfair. But seriously, the team whose fault it is should have to forfeit. So U of H should actually be 5-0 right now. U of H should be 5-0 right now. I'm not making light of COVID. I'm not saying it. I'm just saying. If you suspend 20 players and they're unable to play, you have to forfeit the game. If you can't field a healthy roster, you have to forfeit the game. The team whose fault it is with the COVID should have to forfeit.
So the Cougars are 5-0.
5-0.
Before they even take a snap.
5-0.
All right, let's stretch it a little further. Let's say that they adopted this rule, and the Cougars end up 10-0, having played only one game. Do they go to the playoffs?
I'm going to have to see the other resumes. I'm going to have to see the other resumes, but if there's a bunch of one-loss teams, they're in. Look, they've avoided the COVID.
They did.
It's part of it. So, yes, Houston might be in the playoff with only playing one game if I were commissioner.
But they're 10-0.
Exactly. Hey, Notre Dame, you get a loss this weekend.
Well, they lost one, too.
Well, they actually moved it back. They actually rescheduled the game to Saturday.
Tulsa is out this week.
Well, you get a loss. That's an L.
You've actually kind of talking me into it, even though it's ridiculous.
No, the whole season's ridiculous. Like, look in the stands. Like, you're watching these college programs, and there's nothing there. Like, I mean,
I know it's ridiculous, but that's just the situation we're in right now.
I saw the Big 12 or somebody tweet that had a picture of the Longhorns, Oklahoma. Anyway, it was four Big 12 teams. These four teams are in the top eight of blah, blah, blah. I'm like, they're the only ones that have played.
Yeah. I'm telling you, the whole thing is crazy. Like, the whole thing is absolutely crazy because they don't have the resources of the NFL, but it's a wild season. But I truly think if the COVID is one team's fault, they should have to forfeit.
Forfeit.
That's a loss.
That's an L, baby.
COVID is important. Mm-hmm. Like, COVID is – that is the most important thing you can do, okay? Like, running your offense, running your defense, those take a back seat to avoiding the COVID. So, UNT, if I were commissioner right now, you would have an L, and U of H would have their fifth win.
And for the record, all five games canceled on U of H's schedule were the other team.
5-0.
Yeah, they were the other team.
And Dana's getting nothing to show for it.
Get a bonus.
Dana is sitting there at whatever hotel Tillman Fertitta has him in, sipping on his scotch,
yeah.
But he's actually having his team avoid chaser. COVID, and he's got nothing to show for it. He should have five dubs right now.
Yeah.
Five dubs.
Oh, man.
I tell you. By the way, speaking of that, De'Aaron King looking all right at Miami.
Yeah, he is.
Looking all right at Miami. Good Definitely for that is. Young man. He yeah. deserves it. He's mm-hmm. been through a lot this year. Good for De'Aaron King.
Yeah.
Good for you. But your former team should be 5-0 because if it's not your fault and it's the other team's fault, you should get the dub according to Commissioner Locker.
There we go.
For the OG John Lopez. For all the loopholes, if you listen, you are a loophole. Thank you very much. Thank you to Stanford Rout for hopping on and Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do. I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. I'll actually talk to you tonight after the Astros game. Might be talking playoffs, baby, right here on Sports Radio 610.
Playoffs?
Yes, sir. They get that dub. That magic number's down to zero. And then they just got to wait for the Angels to lose one. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. It's going to be fun. We'll hear from JJ. We'll hear from Deshaun. We'll hear what they're talking about in Pittsburgh as we get ready for the Texans looking for that first dub. We'll talk to you then. But in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley are next.
Thank you, Peggy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.